Tonight I'm turning to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, as we continue our studies in that book. I begin to read from verse 1. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Tonight, as I say, we continue our study in this book, and our subject for consideration is sincere confessions and pleadings. Sincere confessions and pleadings. And I joined chapter 9 to 10, so I've divided into two. And so this one will be part one of sincere confessions and pleadings. As these two things are very important and part of every sincere and acceptable prayer. Every prayer includes such things, and that it's an important part of every prayer. And an example of this, returning Jews who came and to confess their sins and plead for mercy are great examples for us, as we also always come to the Lord and pray about it. But the last time, I don't know if you can remember, we considered how the desires of this returning Jews to consciously understand the word, the law of God more, led them to discover duties that were forsaken. And we also see that this example must be a great example we must imitate if we increase in the knowledge of Christ and also of the will of God. That whatever we learn from Scripture, whenever we are able to be reminded of any duty, immediately we hold on to it, and then the Lord will help us to also grow and have more knowledge, to increase in it and to be more useful to the Lord. So now begin again, as I said, in chapter 9, and as we continue, as I joined the 9 and 10, but I'll divide it into two because it goes together. So the same thing they did for the same day, but the overall thing we think of sincere confessions and pleading. So I read again verse 1 to 2. Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood, confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. The people of Israel, by the law, were given on the seventh of the month, the tenth of this, of the seventh month, which was called Tishrei. They ought to observe the Day of Atonement, and on that day they were to afflict their souls, confess their sins, and which will lead them to repentance. So it was a national day of atonement, a national day of confessing their sins. And that day of atonement was the day where the high priest was going to offer atonement for the whole nation. The atonement was for their sins. And I'm sure the Lord gave this to help them to reflect on the ceremonial thing, how it is that truly the atonement was for the forgiveness of their sins, so that they might be a people who want to desire repentance truly. So it was their custom to have a day of national mourning for their sins. So it was not a new thing for them to have a day of national mourning. But why they chose 24th? Because we are told that they did it on the 24th of this month. As we are told here that that they separated themselves, or that the verse 1, now on the 24th day of the month, verse 1, we are told that they observed this day of national mourning on the 24th, which is different from the day of national atonement, which was on the 10th of the same month. Well, we don't know why they did that, but then we can just have some inference. Remember in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, when they have understood the law, read to them and everything, they became sorrowful, and they wanted to cry, but Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites told them that that day was a special day for joy, so they ought not to weep, to hold on, And remember also in verse 13, 16 of chapter 8, the people were made to know that they have forsaken a particular law, which was the feast of the tabernacle. So I'm sure after they have observed the tabernacle, they decided to have this national day of mourning, which they might have maybe neglected for some time. So I'm sure this could be possible reason, but we don't know why they did it on this day. But whichever way, they have this national day of mourning or the day of atonement. Now, their worship for the day, as we are told, began with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And you know, these were outward expressions of sorrow and humiliation. In the Old Testament, sometimes people would put ashes on themselves, sometimes they would tear their clothes, and showing that they are showing sorrow for whatever has happened, or they are humiliating themselves, committing themselves to consider their sin and all that. So, people can do this without truly heart matter, but we don't need to tear our heart, as the prophet would say, rather rent your heart, meaning we should rather consider our hearts and repent of our sins and be willing to forsake us. And that is what matters, as this people, I mean, represent to us. So after they have showed this, they have with fasting and with sackcloth, they gathered all of them with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them, meaning the day was a day of sorrow for sin, and they want to humiliate themselves. So after this, after they have made this show, they did once, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. When they have shown outwardly that they are mourning for their sin, they did separate themselves. And so this separation was separating themselves from all unlawful affiliations, whether through marriages or through business or whatever it is, because all those affiliations with strangers were against the law. But then if they are coming to confess their disobedience to the Lord, this is one of the things they have to do, because you cannot come while you still have this affiliation with which is a sin against the Lord. And when they have done this, we have stood that and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. So the preparation was, they came with fasting and with a show of humiliation for their sin, and also separated, meaning that they were in a position to really confess sincerely, because they didn't just come in carelessly. They came in with a thought of what their sins are, and they came in this form as they came in with this sackcloth and also earth upon their head, and they came also separating from evil influences, as I said, either false marriages or wrong affiliations which they had, which was against the law of God. Verse 3. And they stood up in their places and read in the book of the law, the Lord their God, one fourth part of the day, and another fourth part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So here we are given the duration of the worship for this day. We are given one fourth part of the day. The Jews divided the day into four parts. Each had 3 hour duration. So from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. was one part, and then onwards, they control. This 3 hours from 6 to 9 a.m., we are told they read the book of the law of their God. And another 3 hours from 10 to 12, they confess and worship the Lord their God. So each of these 3 hours, they alternate these activities, reading the book of the law and also confessing their sins and worshiping the Lord. They alternated this for the whole of 12 hours in the day. So from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., they did the same thing for the day. So we are told how they observed the day and how the day was divided for the worship. Verse 4. Then stood up upon the stairs. We are looking at Nehemiah chapter 9. That's where we are, Nehemiah chapter 9. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Benai, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunai, Sherebiah, Bani, and Chinanai, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Cried with a loud voice unto their God. This shows that how fervent the Levites that led the worship prayed in confessing the sins of the people and their own sins. They cried unto the Lord with a loud voice, They were fervent. They were serious. Of course, they were doing. Their sins that were confessed. They were affected with it. They didn't just stood up, just say anything before the Lord. Just anything, but they were affected. So they cried with a loud voice before the Lord. Verse 5. Then the Levites, Yeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Heshbaniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." So they said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever." And they called the assembly to rise. I'm sure when they were confessing, you know that when they have read the book of the law, they also confessed and worship. So I'm sure when they were confessing, they had prostrated themselves on the floor. So they called them to rise up so they could stand up and worship the Lord. And then we are told in verse 6, they praised the Lord. Verse 6. Then this is how they altered their praise. They addressed the Lord. "Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that there is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the hosts of heaven worshipeth thee." They acknowledged the Almighty God. Remember, chapter 8, they said the great and terrible God. Here, the own God as the creator of heaven and everything, heaven and earth, and not only the creator, the preserver of the world. That such God, though he was the God, but he is the creator of all the world, is the mighty God. So they praise him as such and bring him his adoration. And verse 7 to verse 8, we will not read through. They also thank him for his goodness and kindness to Israel. So they praise and what? They also thank him. And these two things show how every reverent prayer must begin. We praise and adore the Lord, and also we thank him for the mercies and joy. So they praise him and also they thank him. And we see that despite the main purpose of their meeting was for confession of their sins and also pleading for relief, yet the whole worship was done in a formal way. They did it, there was prayer, praises, thanksgiving, and hearing of the word. They read the word. I'm sure there will be explanation as we saw in chapter 8. And there were also the praise and thanksgiving, and there was a prayer. So it was done in a formal worship, which shows that they did it in reverence. As remember, last time we treated reverence worship. But I don't want to go back again on those things. But from verse 16, we have the details of their confessions. As I said, subjects, confessions, and pleading. So from verse 16 to 29, we have the details of their confessions. But I think we realize that before each confession, they remember particular mercy or kindness of God to them. For instance, if you look at verse 9 to 16, just let me read verse 9. "And they see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and headed their cry by the Red Sea. And they said all that he did to Pharaoh, and also how he delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, and also how he divided the Red Sea," verse 11, "and how he led them with a cloudy pillar, and also a pillar of fire, and also how he gave them the law on Mount Sinai, the glorious day for them, and he also made them the Sabbath and all that, and gave them bread from heaven, the manna," verse 15, "and also gave them to possess the land which he has promised to their fathers. But then but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments." So you see, they stated God's kindness, mercy to them from the time he driven from Egypt to the time they settled. And then he said, then they will confess, "But they and our fathers dealt proudly, hardened their necks and hearkened not unto thy commandments." So each confession, they remember the particular mercies so that they can also remember the sins which they have done against the Lord. We see that they also confess their sins of unbelief, blasphemy, backsliding, stubbornness, rebellion, ingratitude, many, many sins. If you go through verse 16 to 18, we say that "by day and our father dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to their commandments." Verse 17, "and they refused to obey, they were mindful of thy one wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks. They knew what God had done, yet they were stubborn to what God to obey the Lord and His command. They rebelled against Him, as they said. Last part of verse 17, hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed the captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a great God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsooketh them not. You see, they have also mentioned the various sins. Verse 26, we can also have this reference. Verse 26, before then, they've said how they entered to the Canaan land, and they possessed great cities, and kings were destroyed before them. And then, verse 26, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, confessing their rebellion. The mercy of God to give them a land, and yet they rebelled against it. Verse 28 also, we see, but after the arrest, they did evil against thee, again before thee. You see again, God gave them rest, gave them peace in the land. They rebelled against it. Verse 29 also, and God testified against them that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearken not unto thy commandment, but sinned against thy judgment, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and will do their shoulders, harden their neck, and will not forbear. So you see that they have also mentioned their backslidings, their rebellion, their pride, that they will not obey the law. So you see that in contemplating God's dealings with them, they begin with His mercy, His kindness, and they bring in what they have done against Him. And that's how their confession went for that day. But in verse 30-33, they also admitted that God had punished them for each some of their rebellions. And they owned that God was righteous to punish them. They said that we deserve what came upon us. In verse 31 down. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, I should go back. Verse 33. He didn't forsake them. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Yes, they only before the Lord that they deserved from all the punishment that has come upon them when they went through their wilderness journey, when they settled on the land, and even when they went to captivity for 70 years. They said God was right in bringing these things to them. Because when they considered that, even when they have sinned and God brought punishment on them, they didn't listen. The punishment was to correct them. They didn't listen. They even killed some of the prophets. They even did so many things against God, to stand against Him. If you read the history of the Israelites, you remember what they mean by these things. And the time of Jeremiah, he would tell them, and they'll say you shouldn't speak to them. And they even had to put him in prison. They didn't want to listen to the warnings of Jeremiah and many other prophets. So they were mindful of these things. So they confessed all these sins before the Lord. But what lessons can we learn from this? Yes, this is all that they did, but it should help us also reflect when we come to confess before the Lord. So our first lesson, we look at the part that the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, with sackcloth and earth upon them. And I've told you that this was expression of sorrow and humiliation for the sin. So before we come to pray at all times, we must have a sense of shame for our sins and readiness to confess and repent, to show a sense of our own sinfulness, shame for our sins. It should always come into our mind. You know that nobody can come before God to claim to be without sin. So whatever prayer we come to God to offer, at all times we should own our sins and be willing to confess them. And one thing that humbles us most is when we think of mercies and joy and our ungratefulness to God. So that we say before prayer there should be what? Deeper meditation and concentration of what we are bringing before God. It's not just we wake up and offer things before Him. We think of the mercies and joy and our gratefulness to Him. And if we are sincere, we sit down and realize how less we have even trusted in Him, how less we have really meditated, how less we have really be able to manifest the life of grace to others, to be a better testimony to His name. Even if we can remember nothing at all, some of these things will move us, that we have been less effective before the Lord. And in it all, there are so many evil thoughts that comes to our mind that we entertain. There are so many things to bring to confess before the Lord. And let's also know that hidden and unconfessed sins are hindrances to whatever hearty prayer we may make. Often we try to pray, but yet we try also to let go of some sins we have committed. We don't confess them. We only bring maybe the major things we think we have. But everything we have done, we just look through. They mention greater sins, as we may call them, and also even just not obeying what the Lord has said was a greater sin to confess, so that we also may have occasion to think of our disobedience in many ways when we come before the Lord. But let's also know that with every prayer, it is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have access to God. Every prayer we make, it is through the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of one for all sacrifice for us when He offered Himself in our place. He is our great high priest. It is through Him that we come to the Lord. And so that we come, despite our sinfulness, we look up to Him. In John 1:9, we are told that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I think in 2 John chapter 2, there's another verse there. I want to read it for you. And we look up to Him as such when we come to the Lord. The last part of chapter 2, verse 1. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have an advocate with the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is not with us as He has gone to be to be in glory. And yet, He's there, interceding for us. So we come, looking up unto Him, for He died for our sins, and it is by His sacrifice that God forgives us and blesses. So we come seeing Him seated, seeing Him there, interceding for us, seeing there that we come looking upon His sacrifice, and it is through that the Lord will accept us. But let's look further on these confessions, that these people had certain times, as I told you, the people of Israel had the 10th day of the 7th month every year for the Day of Atonement and also a day of national humiliation and repentance. It teaches us something. God didn't give it to them for nothing. We also, there might be certain times where we devote ourselves for self-examination, confessions and repentance. Individually, it must be done. Because there are many times that we forget many things. But if we devote ourselves particularly for some things, we'll be able to bring many things to mind. As I said, that these people had a particular day, and I've already explained that they dedicated 24th of the 7th month, as it was not a law for them. But I'm sure after the celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacle, which we had from verse 18 to 16, they wanted to bring things before the Lord, considering how they have disobeyed Him when Ezra read the law to them, and even they realized they have forsaken this particular feast. So I'm sure they brought things to remembrance so that they can come to confess their sins. But let us notice, and let me just bring these things to mind. I don't know how many times you have wept secretly after a sermon or a personal reading of scripture, where your faithfulness to the Lord, neglect of some Christian duties, or some particular sins were discovered to you. I don't know how many times you have mourned for that. How many times you have mourned for that? That when I've read a word, my personal devotion, or I've heard a sermon speaking about particular sins in my life, or my neglect of Christian duty, and also even my unfaithfulness to the Lord. These things cause for deep sense of our sinfulness, that it causes us to mourn, to cry that we have not done what we ought to do. Remember when David has sinned in the case of Bathsheba. When Nathan the prophet had come to him and they were talking, but when Nathan pointed to David that you are the man, He said that, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said, you are the man who have done it. I have sinned against the Lord. And then he began to confess and began to try to ask the Lord to forgive him. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. So, it's like the word of God is a checker to us, so that whenever any portion tells us of our denial of the Lord, our faithfulness, or any particular sin, it must move us to deeper confessions before the Lord. Remember Peter, when he had denied the Lord, and the Lord looked on his face, then he began to weep because he had disobeyed him. It's the same thing with any disobedience to the Lord. Any disobedience is a denial of the Lord. It has been brought to our remembrance, it must cause that deep confession. As this report narrated, all that even their fathers have done, and they also have done against the Lord. And you know, if we are spiritually alive, we will often find many occasions for confession, for every day. And such an act makes us to be humble and prepare ourselves for greater usefulness. Most of the times, we are less useful to the Lord because there are many things unconfessed, and we gloss over them, we move on, we think that everything is okay. Then our spiritual lives, is not able to flourish as we ought to, because secret sins will never let us prosper. Secret sins unconfessed, will never let us have the joy of our Christian lives. And the next thing also that we think about this report, that whenever we intend to confess our sins before God, we must separate ourselves from those sinful ways and companions, because we are told that for the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. There must be a desire for separation whenever we are confessing our sins. The things that have led us to disobey the Lord, are we willing to part with them? If they were friends, are we willing to part with them? If there were any other thing, are we willing to separate ourselves from them? Such things must also come to us. Because when they came with our sackcloth upon them and earth upon their head, and which shows their sorrow for what they have done, they separated themselves from all strangers. Things that have caused them to sin, they separated themselves from. So, how do we also look at this? For instance, it is insincerity to confess weakness to sexual immorality and vulgarity and still be glued to the internet, social media, and television. Why? This place is a doorway for such things. Nowadays, this area, all the entertainment, whether on television or what, it's full of this thing. So I cannot be confessing my sins of this thing before God and just being glued to my television. Yes, we can watch television, but we have to be careful. For instance, many people sometimes, if they don't watch television, they might not be for instance, you'll be watching television and they were maybe doing political program, and then somebody says something, it annoys you, and at times that annoyance stays with you, and then it moves you to become angry with others. So you see that we should be careful. Some of these things, those are our attitude toward things changes, and as I said, our weakness to sexual morality and other foul words are often found on this place. It's very common there, on the internet, the televisions, and other things. Also, it is insincerity to confess unbelief and still read things that cast doubt about God and His claim on us. Some think, it's difficult for them to take in who God is and His claim on us, to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the same people are always enjoying things that blaspheme God, things that cast doubt about even the word of God and some things. And then, how can you be helped? You can never be helped. Even if you confess them and you still continue to reading them, it will be of no help to you. Also, it is insincere to confess impatience while there is no shame for former harshness or carelessness against others. I cannot be confessing my impatience before the Lord while I have been harsh to others, I have shown indifference to others, I have not confessed them, and yet I'm trying to confess that, the Lord should help me to be patient. No, I should bring such specific act of mind before the Lord. so that I will be helped. I should be helped. For instance, it's a great hindrance to prayer when married couples sometimes neglect to confess their bitterness or harshness against their spouses to the Lord, and yet think they pray. Many times we try to do that. If married couples, we have been harsh toward our couple, we have not treated them well, we put them aside and we think we want to pray. No, we have to confess them, because it will be a hindrance to our prayers. It will be a hindrance to our prayers. So, as Psalm 66 verse 18 tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Every form of iniquity, whatever it is, whether in our thoughts, in our desires, or in our speeches, or in our actions, Psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So my heart will be poured before him in fullness. Sins of the heart, pride, lust, envy, hatred, grief, bitterness, are often not confessed when people are not sincere. People can easily confess bigger sins. Maybe there's some place they went, you know. But then pride, lust, envy, hatred, grief, bitterness, and many things that people even don't see, many fail to confess them. So let us be mindful of these things, that as we often we confess ourselves, let's bring these things to mind. And take time to really observe how our lives have been, so that we can fully come to the Lord. If you can remember, these people, the returning Jews, their day of confession, they really brought to mind various things throughout the years, their fathers and theirs, and they brought them and poured them before the Lord. So we also see this father cry in verse 4, they cry with a loud voice unto the Lord their God, which I said that shows their seriousness. So our confession must also be made with seriousness. Remember, James 5:16 tells us, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Fervency in prayer is marked by strong desire for what we pray for. When we are fervent in our prayers, you see, some people sometimes pray as if they are just talking to their friends. But you see, I'm sure we see how when we are serious and we are demanding something from people. But then in this way, it's fervent, but with humility. See how children, when they are in need of something, they respect their parents, but they are agents on it. They are very, very serious of what they are talking about. So our confession should be when they cry with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. So it's not the issue of having the sackcloth and everything upon themselves, but they were also what? Heaven. They were serious, and they had a strong desire that God should hear them as they confess their sins. So we see that they were serious in whatever confession they were confessing. And also the last thing we look at what they did was that our confession also must be precise. Look at verse 16 to 17. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, hiding their necks and hearkened not unto thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hiding their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a great God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, forsaketh them not. You see, they mentioned when they got to the edge of the promised land, when the reporters, Joshua, Caleb, and others came from, their spies came and the others gave people reports, when they wanted to return, they appointed a captain. They were specific. They were particular. Not that they were rebel against it. It was a specific act they did. They mentioned it. In their rebellion, appointed a captain to their bondage. They also mentioned how they were meddling. In verse 26, they said this. The last part of 26, and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocation. The people of Israel, if you read the history about them, they killed some of the prophets, and they abused some of the prophets, and they confessed that. So you see, we bring particular sins before the Lord. And we are specific about them. Yes, when in public, we may bring them as not as it is, as specific about our personal life. But in our private confessions, we
we should be specific of whatever we have done. So and so, so I have done. I have been there like this, this and this. So during the day, if you want to have sincere confession, we'll keep track of all our ways. And then as we sit down to pray, we bring them to mind. I said this to this person, was it right? I acted this way, was it right? I went or I did and this and that, was it right? And we assess it. If it's not right, we bring them before the Lord. Else our confessions are not proper. And if, as the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So you see, if we are not careful, our prayers are faulty. Our prayers are not sincere. Our prayers are not sincere. Finally, let us remember that all our secret thoughts deep in our hearts are open to the Lord, who is all-knowing. The things we fail to confess, they are all before Him. He knows everything. Also, whenever we confess our sins, He knows that whether we are sincere or not. Whether we are sincere or not. In Jeremiah 17:10, we are told that I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, and even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Yes, I've sinned against the Lord. The Lord knows it. He knows my thoughts. He knows everything within me. And He is going to answer my prayer. And yet, I have not confessed as I ought to. And yes, He also reward me according to my confessions. As He said that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And the Lord knows that the iniquities I have not confessed, I don't desire to repent of them. I don't desire to bring them before Him. He will answer me according to my own heart desire. So let us be also mindful of this, that the Lord knows our heart. The Lord knows our heart. But let's also remember that if we are sincere, whatever sins we confess, we are sure of God's forgiveness because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who represents us before the Father. He is ever ready. If we are only sincere to bring everything before Him and also seek for grace to repent, the Lord will hear us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and make us useful as He wants us to be. Sins unconfessed in our lives is one of the ways we grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve Him so that His influence is over our lives. You know that the work of sanctification is the work of the Spirit. And how can He do it when we have unconfessions and even our confessions are insincere? He is the Holy Spirit. We can never do anything that is unworthy of Him, and He will help us. So let us be mindful of this. As these people confess their sins, let us follow the examples so that anytime we come before the Lord, we can have hearty confession, sincerely. Truly, if there are things genuinely we have forgotten, the Lord Himself will forgive us. But if truly there are things we just want to let them be off and just go on praying, the Lord will not hear us. It will be a hindrance to all that we ask the Lord for. So may the Lord help us as we reflect through these things.